Okay, thank you. All right, well, Luke chapter 2, we're going to just give you a short exhortation about Luke chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 9, my favorite scripture. Of course, we love to learn the Bible, and I thank God for the Charlie Brown Christmas, because then you hear the Christmas story every year. And in Luke chapter 2, it's, and there were shepherds out in the field, verse 8. And keeping watch over their flocks by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger." And then there suddenly was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Last week, Marianne talked about peace. And today I'm going to talk to you about the gift that God gave us that's addressed with us. It says, "Unto you is born this day." You know, when the angel came to the shepherds, they came to, again, the lowest people of this on the social, status. And you know why? I believe the reason why they came to shepherds to announce it is because Jesus himself was going to be king. But Jesus himself was not of the ruling class. He was of the tribe of Judah, but he was not. Joseph and Mary were not of the ruling class, were they? They weren't of the ruling class. They didn't live in Jerusalem. They weren't a part of the Sanhedrin. They were just regular people. All right? They were not highly educated. Jesus was not highly educated. So he was a leader that was not someone that could list a bunch of PhDs and letters behind his name. Right? And yet he was the Word of God. He was not a political leader either, was he? Right? He wasn't elected to any office. He wasn't a person who rallied around. Jesus was not that kind of guy. And Jesus was not a military commander. He didn't, you know, like Eisenhower. He wasn't somebody that was a leader because he was a great general, or Petraeus was the man who did so well in Iraq. I mean, Jesus was none of the things, none of the qualities that an angel would ever want to sing about, really? So it was none of those. This is the kind of Jesus that we have. And that gift was given to the shepherds. It says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." So I want you to picture, you will, the gift of Christ with a tag on it, and it's got your name on it. It's got your name on it, because if God gives you a gift, if somebody comes to you and hands you a gift, like we got a bag there for Ronnie, it's got his name on it. It's just for him. And so he's free to take it. So the best thing about having the gift of God with your name on it, that gives you the right and the authority to receive what God has given you. So take it. Take the gifts that God has of healing. Take the things that God has for you. They're for you. Take it. Don't refuse it. Receive it, because it's got your name on it. It is for you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And that Savior represents something that God wants to be mighty in you. And he wants to do something, and he wants to save you from your sins. And he wants to save you from this present evil world. Praise God. We need saving. And then it's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. Now, I want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 9, my other favorite Christmas scripture from the book of Isaiah. So if you would turn there, that's the one that I think this particular scripture echoes. This particular scripture, Isaiah chapter 9. And let's see if I might have to call it up here. Go to Isaiah 9. Oh, I'm just going to read it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born." You see, it's the same idea, an addressed gift. It's got your name on it. "Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want to talk about the four names that he was given, the gift to you. And I want to talk about these four names really quick. You see, when God gives us a gift, it's not just a one-sided gift either. It's a gift that has a lot of depth to it. Yeah. Do you realize that? It's not like okay, you're saved, it's just Jesus. But you know when Jesus said, he who receives me, right, receives the one who sent me. So when you receive Jesus in your life, you don't just get Jesus, do you? Amen. You get the Father who sent him. There's so much more. Not that Jesus doesn't have a lot. I'm not saying that. But do you see there's a depth to knowing the Lord? There's a depth to receiving Christ. It's more than just saying, you know, Jesus, you're my Lord, but you're receiving the one who sent him. And isn't that the Father who just spoke? You know, just he's been there. He's the Eternal Father. And that's one of the names that Isaiah lists, the Eternal Father. So if you receive Jesus, you receive the Eternal Father or the Everlasting Father. Amen. Do you realize that every one of us that is born again, God says that he knew us before he created the universe. That you see how much depth there is to our salvation? It's more than just the fact that you made a decision one day, or you're going to make a decision one day about Jesus. But the fact is that you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And it says, before you were in the womb, I knew you, right? That's the Word of God says that. And while you're in the womb, I says, one scripture says, you formed me in the deepest parts of the earth. That's not the womb. That's like in God's, when he was making the universe, he had you in mind. He had some atoms already designated to be you. Amen. When the earth was being formed. You know, that's Ronnie right there. That little, see those little atoms right there? That's going to be Ronnie. That's going to be Steve. I mean, he had all of that picked out ahead of time. Surely if he has all the hair on your head numbered, right? He certainly has got the atoms that made up your body. He already had them designated while he was creating the heavens and the earth. That's the Eternal Father. That's a mystery. I can't explain it. But I can share that with you, that the Eternal Father is something that you receive. And then also in these four names, you have the Wonderful Counselor. So then Jesus said, when you receive me, right? He says, I want you. You've already received the Father if you receive me, right? He told the disciples, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So now you've got the Father and me that are going to dwell with you. But then he said, I also want you to receive the Holy Spirit. So there's even more. You receive Christ and you have the Father who already planned your life before you even knew. And then he says, I want you to something now to receive later, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that we keep receiving. We receive the Holy Spirit today, and then tomorrow we receive more of the Holy Spirit. And then the next day we receive more of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong, but I believe that there are many fillings of the Holy Spirit. Being filled, right? Ephesians talks about that. And John and Megan were talking about that. How didn't you get filled? You just kept getting filled and full, and you gave out more. And then you talked about being a conduit. That means that there is a flowing that's going on, and there's a filling. And that's the Wonderful Counselor. And I want you to see this. A Wonderful Counselor is a new way to get wisdom. If most of us, when we think about becoming wise, first thing I'm going to do is reach for a book, right? If I want to learn how to do something, I'm a do-it-yourselfer, right? So if I want to learn how to make something, then I get a book and read about it. And that's how I get wisdom on how to do something. But you know, what God does is he gives us signs and wonders to start teaching us about things. Did you hear Megan's testimony today? Did you hear how God taught her? How did he teach her? He just started showing her signs and it made her wonder. Because when you see something that you can't wrap your mind around, right? But you can wrap your heart around it. But you can't wrap this, but you can wrap this. You can go with that, can't you? Sometimes you can't. And the angel said, it says, this will be a sign unto you. You'll find a babe. He said, look, there's a sign. I want you to pay attention to the sign. And I just want you to know that our faith begins with a sign that makes us wonder. It doesn't begin with a logical argument. It doesn't begin with a textbook that shows you everything that we need to know about God. When God starts dealing with us and he starts giving us wisdom, he just starts to reveal himself to us in these signs that causes us to wonder, because if he went any other way, then it would be dependent on our own wisdom.
Yeah.
Amen. You got it? We can't live based on our own brain. I already figured that out. It took me a while. But you cannot live your life based on your own thinking, your own understanding. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Well, how do you lean not unto your own understanding? By signs and wonders. By God speaking supernaturally to you, where you just kind of know it intuitively. And then all of a sudden, after you intuitively step into the truth, then God begins to give you understanding. And then all of a sudden, it makes sense. It's reasonable then. But not until he gives you that wonderful counselor, the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit's really good at. He's really good at counseling us with the supernatural of God. And that may be a dream. It may be a sign, a spiritual sign. It may be a miracle. It may be a scripture that just pops out at you and you just go, oh, yes, I get that scripture now. I never got that scripture before. And so there's a sign that God gives us to give us wisdom. Now, God has given us also the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. Let me say one thing about the mighty God. Our God is a warrior.
Yes, he is.
He is a mighty warrior. He is, yes. That word mighty was used almost exclusively of warfare. This was not a weightlifting exhibition or a wrestling match. You see what I'm saying? This is God's might demonstrated in his ability to destroy every opposing God. And I believe the church needs to see more and preach more about the mighty God.
Amen.
I believe that we've been a little bit too nice and a little bit too wimpy about who God really is.
Yeah.
We have a problem in America, and that problem is we want everybody to like us, and therefore we're going to say that all gods are the same. Or that somehow that, you know what I'm saying? Let's just all just get along. No, 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 no. No, it says the gods of this world are idols. And there is only one God, and his name is, you know, the Lord. And he's a mighty God. That means any other God that tries to assert its, you know, glory is going to be torn down. And the whole story, I just can't help but think of the Exodus when I think of the mighty God. Because Egypt had many gods, and we were in a country in India. India has like 360 million gods. They have many, many gods. Yeah, they got millions of them. It's just amazing. It's just about as many people groups there are in India have their own individual gods. So everybody has their own collection. It's all based in man, and man's setting up tin cans and worshiping it, or some animal and whatever. And this is, and God, when he took the people out of Egypt, he demonstrated his might by destroying through the plagues every one of the idols that Egypt worshiped.
Amen.
Snakes, toads,
oxen.
He turned the river into blood. They worshiped the river. So what did he do? Turn it into blood. Because God wanted to demonstrate his authority over every one of your enemies. And I believe that we, what did you say, John? It says we're not operating in the what? The blessing or the, remember you said at the very end, a lot of Christians in America are not what?
Victory.
Operating in the what?
Overcoming.
The victory. Remember you said that? Remember you said that? We need to re-grab a hold of God being the mighty God and living in victory. That means every enemy is under our feet. Everything. There are no enemies. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm trying to reach people and trying to, you know what I mean, bring people in the kingdom, and then the devil yanks them out of my hands. I'm tired of that. I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing people come under bondage of the enemy. I'm tired of seeing people be slaves. It's time to set some slaves free. It's time to set some captives free. There are a lot of people in bondage in this area. They don't know the Lord, and they're in bondage to sin. And they're just going from one disaster to another. And we have to see them get out of there. They got to be pulled out. And we need a mighty God to do that.
Amen.
To break that deception, to break the bondage, to break the addictions. Amen. Praise God. All right, last thing, Prince of Peace. And that's what I want to talk to you about this. Marianne talked about peace last week. And we have a messed up attitude about peace in our country. I'm not trying to be overly critical. We think peace means that two armies are not in open conflict. So we say, oh yeah, yeah, there's peace in the Middle East, right? I'm just using the Middle East as an example. Well, there's peace in the Middle East, right? No, there isn't. Is there two armies fighting each other? Not right now, but are there terrorist bombings?
Yes.
Is there peace in Europe right now?
No.
No. Is there? No. Was there really peace in America? I mean, is there really peace in America when someone drives a truck into people who are... Is that peace?
No.
But we in America have dumbed down the definition of peace.
Yeah.
There isn't peace. And without a prince, you can't have the peace.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And the Prince of Peace is Jesus. And that prince represents government. It represents the lordship of Jesus.
Amen.
In Matthew 10, Jesus told the disciples, he said, whatever town you come to, find out who is worthy and stay in it until you depart. And as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. That means you bring your peace with you.
That's right.
But they have to receive you.
Yep. Amen.
Now, if that applies to a house, right? And they receive you in a household. You carry a peace with you because you have the Prince of Peace in you. And that Prince of Peace means the government of God. That means God rules in his government. Through his acts and through his laws and through his principles. And as you follow the principles of the government of God, you have peace. Peace is not something that's just a feel-good kind of thing. And it's not just the fact that two armies aren't openly fighting. We understand that. We've got that established. And so we carry a peace with us wherever we go. And if that place receives us, that one family receives us, then they have peace because they have received us. And because when we come, we're not coming alone, right? He who receives you, right, receives me. And if you receive me, you receive the one who sent me. So every time a family opens up to the presence of a godly Christian, that peace comes into that location, a real location.
Yes.
So if you're a believer and you have a business and you walk into that business, that is your business. Your peace is in that place.
Amen.
Because you play by God's rules. You got to understand something. You have peace when you play by the rules of the ruler.
Yes.
It's not chaos. So when you do things according to the kingdom, what happens? You have peace. People get healed. The devil gets chased out. If you're a teacher in a school, you are hired by the school system. They receive you. They get your peace. So in your sphere of influence, people are influenced by the peace of God. You work at a hospital. You work at a job anywhere else. If they receive you and they receive your lordship of who the Lord is in you, and then your peace actually increases. And then actually the more it does increase, the more an area adopts, right? Or embraces the rules of the kingdom, they see greater and greater peace. I believe that happens in a church. That can happen in an area, a region, as every one of us exercises the peace of God as people receive us. But in our country and in other countries, we have seen a drift away from that, haven't we? Not all countries, but in some, we have seen a drift away from that. And so what do you get instead? You get chaos. And you get two choices. And here's the choices that are so sad that God has to change. I really believe it's time for a change. Yes. One choice, on the other hand, is a totalitarian dictator, right? Where that leader just makes decisions, and you vote for that leader, and they just make decisions, and they supposedly impose a peace, but there's no justice. Right. There's no righteousness. There's no kindness. There's nothing. It's just order. And, you know, Chinese communism, I mean, they killed 250 million of their own people, but they had order, didn't they? Right? So that's one side of the equation. I was just in a country where they have a man like that. I mean, he said, I'm going to get rid of drugs. Okay, so what do? They send hit squads out there and just shoot these people. Drug users. Right? So that's one thing you're beginning to see more and more in the world, aren't you? You're seeing leaders that kind of do that kind of thing. And then on the other hand, this will be more like America, I think. On the other hand, you see ineffectual leadership that really doesn't lead because it's trying to follow man's opinions. Yeah. Leadership that is not real leadership because it's checking the polls. It's trying to please man. It's just trying to do what the multitude wants. It tries to manipulate the media, and it tries to create hysteria. It tries to create memes. You know, the new word is memes in social media, to try to influence people's decision making. And so people are tired of confusion, aren't they? Do you feel that?
Yes.
Do you feel a sense right now that people are getting fed up with the confusion over weak leadership?
Yes.
Are you getting that? That's what I think in America is where we're at right now. And I think also in the church, it's time for the church to be more aggressive and you know what I'm saying, and be much more mighty God here. Come on, we've got to see something really change.
Amen.
Because people are tired of that. And you're seeing that in world situations. Oh, if everybody would just sit down at the table and talk. Guess what? It doesn't always work that way. That's that weak, ineffective leadership. Instead of saying, who is right? And I want you to look at a scripture here. And it's in Isaiah chapter 57. I think it's there. And I'm just going to kind of wrap this up here. I think it's Isaiah 57. Let me just go there. And then we just need to pray. Isaiah 57. Where's my, there we go. Look at verse 18. Isaiah 57, it's a great chapter there, but let's look at verse 18. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. This is the Lord talking about Israel. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Do you see the connection between healing and peace? But look here, the last two verses are really key right now. But the wicked or the unrighteous are like the tossing sea. It cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You cannot have real peace without righteousness. You cannot have real peace without godly government. You cannot have real peace unless there's a receiving of the one who carries peace with him. And just like a family can receive an individual and have peace come on their house, so can a neighborhood receive peace. So can a city receive peace. So can a country receive peace. But you have to receive peace by receiving people whom God has sent. And we just need to keep praying for this in our country. Pray for our leaders. We need to pray for other countries as God leads us to pray for us, because God has given us a son and God has given us a child, and that the government shall be upon his shoulders. See, here's the thing about that gift. If the gift has your name on it, that means you are responsible for what is done with that gift. If there is no tag on that gift, then it could sit there and you don't have to be accountable for it at all. But God's got your name on that gift. You can't just say, well, you know, God, I know you've got a will for me, but I don't think I'm going to do it. I just may want to do your will. You're going to have to answer to him. I'm sorry.
Right.
There is not this kind of thing. Oh, just be a nice person the whole life. It's just not going to be that way. We all have a purpose. We all have a gift given to us with our name, and we are all accountable for how we do, what we do with that gift.
Amen.
We have to answer to God. We have to say, you know, it's going to be well done, right? When we face Jesus, it's going to be a well done. Sorry, he didn't like his. Or get thee behind me, I never knew you. So we have a responsibility and an accountability to do what God has called us to do.
Amen.
To make a difference, to obey his will, to see the kingdom of God come, to bring the peace of God. It says, blessed are the what? The peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. So like Jesus was the Prince of Peace, so we are peacemakers. And we are peacemakers not by being wimps.
That's right.
You hear what I'm saying? Not just, oh, let's just do what the popular thing is. Let's just try to tell everybody what we think they want to hear. No. We have to stand up. We have to stand up for the righteousness of God, because there is no peace for the wicked.
Amen.
We have to confront wickedness. We have to confront it with the truth. We got to deal with deceptions. There's a lot of deceptions out there. God's people, it's time for them to. And you know, it's interesting. We're actually starting to see some impact in our culture over a period of time. It's been a huge battle, but we're going to see some victories in our culture. We don't have to have our culture given over to unrighteousness. There's no excuse for that. That's not what I'm expecting. I don't want my areas of influence to be totally given over to Satan. Do you?
No.
Do you want to see the business community under the control of the enemy?
No.
Do you want to see the education given over?
No.
I don't. I want godly people to be there. I want godly kids to be raised up. I don't want to see the television. Do you want to see the media in our country totally given over to Satan?
No.
I mean, I don't feel like I, why does, do I have to feel like I got to turn off the TV most of the time? Because they're cussing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? There's nasty stuff on all the time. It doesn't have to be that way, does it? So God is working there with godly people that are allowing themselves to come in there and change. And he's called you. He's called me to make a difference. And we have to give account for how we do with what God has called us to be. And healing is essential for peace.
Amen.
How can anybody have peace if they're sitting in a hospital bed worried about and they're in pain? Or they're, you know what I'm saying? There's no peace for that. But God wants to give people peace.
Amen.
And healing is one way to bring it.
Amen.
And the righteousness of God are other ways to bring the government of God.